What is going on? Nature Borg here with the two best field trainers that I know, Tyler Grinder and Justin Ellingson. This is going to be...
And the world knows.
This is going to be the definitive go-to on how to be a kick-ass field trainer and do everything in our power, everything that we can control to ensure that people write 10,000 or more in their first 4 weeks. If this were video, you would see the three of us all with 1 foot up in the Captain Morgan's pose on a chair in my office. So picture that, those of you that know us as you listen. Okay, so this is our big five, our big five on what it takes to be a kick-ass field trainer. Go ahead, Tyler, kick us off with number one on our list.
So number one is just having a 2 out of 3 day, no matter what. So you start when you say you're gonna stop. You start when you say you're going to start, and you work until you say you're going to stop and get a full 8-hour day in. Every day that you're training someone, this needs to happen, regardless of the situation.
Anything to add?
No matter what.
Yeah, so just the importance of no matter what happens, people seeing a full day get worked is critical. They need to see how to work a full day. It's easy to fall in the trap of, oh, I gotta, you go ahead and get started without me, I'll see you at 11, and oh, hey, you're doing great, yeah, I'm gonna bounce out, you finish out the day and we'll talk afterwards.
The reason why this is so important is because in sales school, they were just told over and over and over and over again, 2 out of 3 days. If you come out of here and just do 2 out of 3 days, you're gonna be successful, which we know is true. So if, no matter what story you tell them, if you do not follow that, it is disregarding what they just learned and what they believe in. So that's why it's so important.
I think we all agree that stringing together 2 out of 3 days consistently is the single biggest and most accurate predictor of future success in our business. So that's number one. Number two is gold standard, people seeing a replicatable demo. Justin, why is this so important?
Kind of like we just talked about with 2 out of 3, but the gold standard, it needs to, again, 95% resemble exactly what is taught to them from start to finish that they see from sales school, because their confidence is coming from your confidence in what they just learned. It just discredits you, us, them, family heritage, if they see something different. So it just keep it simple, and I know that one thing you say that's so important seems like it needs to be in there, but it isn't. It's 95% gold standard what they need to see.
And early in my career, I had an amazing trainer, but the demos were not the same, and they weren't consistent, and it was very hard to learn. Once I got a video, audio of similar to what the gold standard is now, made it a lot easier to learn when you're seeing the same thing consistently.
So an idea on ensuring that that happens every single time would just be, before you're about to go train somebody, listen back to the gold standard audio, read back to the script, refresh your memory on the things where maybe you've gotten a little bit off script, so that what they see is replicatable and sustainable. Anything else on that? Great. Okay, number three, people need to see success. Tyler.
Yes, imagine being brand new. Well, we've all been brand new. If you go out and work all day for 3 days in a row and you don't see a family protected from someone who's been here for a year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever the case is, if they don't see success, when they go home and those thoughts creep in that, man, I don't know if I can do this, they're going to be amplified exponentially if they haven't seen someone be protected while they're working with someone who they know is good at this job.
And it's a mindset. And it doesn't matter how small the app is, everybody gets protected on something. Let's just get you started on the base. I don't even show base, but I know some people do. So it's just seeing success, seeing a check being written, seeing a family protected. So having that mindset of we're gonna go and protect families, and that's gonna happen. So be okay with, you know, showing smaller package sizes with standard. When you're early on, just to get names, success, and for them to get confidence and momentum.
Huge. Okay, so those are the big three. Again, 2 out of 3 days, seeing people, people seeing rather a full hour day, starting when you say you're going to start, stopping when you say you're going to stop. Number two, seeing a replicatable example of what it takes to do well, seeing a gold standard that is consistent with what they observed in sales school. And third, people need to see success. They need to see families protected. They need to have hope that the system actually works. We're selling them on this system works when you work it. So for them to see that the system actually works, we hear consistently, time after time, new people that report back, you know, after their first couple days, you know, of field training, wow, it was so cool to see, to see that it actually works, right? So that's huge. So a couple more things. Now we're getting more into the mental and emotional side of the equation. But number four on our list of the big five on how to be a kick-ass field trainer is daily communication. So two parts of that, daily communication with the agent. So Tyler, talk to us about the importance of daily communication with the new agent that you're training.
Yeah, so daily communication with the new agent is vital, especially if they're not doing so well. They're always going to reach out to you if they're having a great day. But when they have questions or concerns, you might need to reach out to them. When you're training someone new, you need to be in daily communication with them. And then also, you need to communicate with your direct manager so that they can help you see things that you might not see early in your training experiences.
Daily communication, also a next step to be able to help you, especially when you're not with that agent, is having them take pictures in their first 3 weeks of their pre-approach. Explaining to the new agent, so it doesn't seem like you're spying on them, when kind of we are, is we don't cover that very much in sales school. So I want to be able to help you spend your time as effective as possible and save time not going to empty doors. So each day when you text your stats, also text a picture of your pre-approach. It's going to be so evident to you whether or not they're working, whether or not the stats they tell you are actually true, based on the pre-approach you're going to get. So another way for daily communication is to make sure you're using Voxer with that agent you're training and yourself, and then also having your director on there so your director can help hear the conversations you're having and speed up your leadership and learning career as well.
Yeah, the use of Voxer has been absolutely transformational, I think, for our organization, because what it does is it allows everybody to be on the same page, you know. So whether that's we're kind of speaking to a newer field trainer, somebody who's just getting into leadership and is just getting started with training people, you know, it's important for your direct manager, who may or may not be your director, the director as well, or agency owner, to be involved in that communication as well. And just to be aware of what's going on, you know, because ultimately, as a field trainer, you're going to be communicating with that new agent more than anybody else. But for your direct manager, for your agency owner, to be aware of what's going on, to give you real-time feedback on, hey, you should talk to them about this, or you should, you know, work on that, is pretty critical. I'd like to hear from both you guys on this, because this is something I think that comes up a lot. When you're in the field with somebody, okay, when to coach them up, right, or explain what they just saw you do, right, or coach them up on what you saw them do, versus when to just go to the next, right, call. Thoughts on that?
I break down, at least for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes each demo, calls, I just go see the next person, because we can talk about it during that, but I'll actually pause just to talk about the demo and see what they took away from that and see if they're paying attention to the right things. If they say, yeah, you're just really nice, or it's like, what were you watching? But you need to break down presentations in finding the need, fulfilling the need, and then also catching them and or you doing things right. But when it comes to getting blown up, when you run into somebody who's super rude, they need to see you work through that. The worst thing you can possibly do is get frustrated and take a break. So when I have somebody who's rude, they'll see me kind of be like, yeah, that kind of pissed me off. So I need to go and see someone immediately, because the only way to take that out of my head is to go and see somebody.
Yeah, totally agree. after a demo, I typically pull over and ask them, so what notes did you take there, to get a feeling for what they're seeing and what they're picking up. And then if there are some key things, I'll kind of recap those real quick with them that they noticed. And I'll usually throw out two or three things that maybe they didn't notice and they should have, so that the next demo that they watch, they're more observant on just the things that they should be picking up.
Tyler pointed out something that's really key, is they need to be taking notes, and how to take effective notes is you have them have a notebook, and on the top is approach. And then they leave at least two or three paragraphs, and then the next spot, introduction. And then they leave a space or flip the page and then demo, right? And leave space. So then that way, each one they're watching, they're having notes just on that specific spot versus just notes all over the place. So you break down each cycle of the sale and have space there so they can take notes on that specific thing. So if they're, when you watch them do something, you can say, hey, I want you to flip to your notebook to the buying atmosphere and just watch this piece.
So can you guys break down just kind of the daily communication, right? So there's a difference between sort of a check-in midday, right, to say, hey, how things are going, if they've got a specific question. Right now we're talking about a day when you're not with somebody in the field, but they're following up on something, versus that nightly stats call.
Yeah, so to not get bogged down by the story of what's happening, First, I want to talk to you about, hey, I'm excited to hear about how your day is going. What are you sitting at so far for today? Because the numbers are going to tell you a lot in how long you need to listen to their story about that. Because if the day is almost done and they only have 8 calls, their story doesn't matter. They just haven't seen enough people. So get the numbers first, and then you can listen to how the day's going and coach them based on that.
So I think a big part of that too is just giving them, especially for somebody who's having a tough time, somebody's in their first couple weeks and just struggling, is giving them the next activity metric. Say, okay, in the next 2 goal periods, I want you to do X amount of calls or X amount of demos, and I want you to text me right somewhere after your next goal period and let me know how it's going. Sometimes we need to sort of hold people's hand to get them through a day or a week, and giving them an activity-based objective that they can control.
And let me just help you for someone who's really struggling, right? So if they're like, oh, I don't know if I could do this, or I didn't know it was going to be this hard. It's always fun just to drop some humor and go, oh, did you think it was going to be easy? Like, oh, wait, hold on, you're in your third day and you thought you're just going to be perfect at this? And it just lightens the mood for them. They're like, oh, and I'm like, dude, yeah, it's hard right now. It's like 2-a-days, man. Your career is going to look totally different from now. So quit putting so much pressure on yourself. You just haven't found the ace yet today. Always refer back to the ace of finding the gimme. Quit getting hung up on the little things, man. You just haven't seen enough people, and it's supposed to feel like that right now. It's just, the gym example. You haven't worked out in a year? Oh, it probably hurts, right? That's just that's part of the process.
Perfect. Cool. So this is good. I think, just helping people keep their eyes on the prize and understand what the next thing is, right? Controlling the controllables, 2 out of 3 day. A big part of collecting stats, when people are doing well, is really praising them on, hey, awesome job with 2 out of 3. Okay. Especially if that 2 out of 3 was 8.5 hours, 30 calls, right? Like, I think it's pretty important to say, hey, that's a high activity day. You control what you could control. And we never know when we're going to run into those aces and when we're going to find those people. One thing we do know, however, is that I've never run into an ace. I've never had anybody call me when I quit early. I've never had anybody chase me down and say, oh, I was going to be your ace for the day, but you quit early and missed, right? We have to be out and get to the next person.
Well, this is moving on to number 5, so just mental and emotional preparation for your agent and for yourself. One thing that I really try to do is just be fearless and lead by example, but also be transparent and share with people exactly what you felt when you started, right? So everybody's thought about quitting at some point. We've all had struggles. I tell people, hey, I got off to a much slower start than you have, and you've only been here 2 days. So share your past struggles and just how you felt in the beginning, and let them know that there is hope, right? We just need to give people hope in the early stages that it's going to get better. This is the worst that it's ever going to be. The more you do this, the better it's going to get. And just be open with people, right? Don't be afraid to share the struggles that you had and felt when you were earlier in your career.
And letting them know it always clicks. And it will look totally different 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. You know, sharing, just like Tyler said, you know, the feeling of my second week, I was like, what am I doing out here? Like, literally gripping the steering wheel, just so pissed off. Like, I'm better than this. I'm too good for knocking on doors, you know, and I had that feeling. And what, we have an unsexy title, but we have a very sexy lifestyle, right? So understanding that after 5 years here, I would never have to cold call again a day in my life ever again, right? So it's all about the process and understanding that it gets better and it always clicks for everybody.
The importance of selling hope cannot be overemphasized. Here's the next thing. Here's where you're going. It's not always going to be this way. And just, Tyler, that was such a good point. Relating to people, right? This is normal. You are not unique. Everybody feels this way at some point. I felt that way at some point, right? And it's not just you, because people are having that thought of, oh, maybe everybody just loves cold calling all day. Maybe everybody just loves getting blown up and rejected, and I'm just weird. Maybe this isn't for me because I'm not enjoying this phase of the process, right? So for us to say, no, it's not just you. We've all felt that way. I've felt that way. The answer lies behind the next door.
Yeah, and then the other side of that coin is for you as a trainer to not get emotionally over-invested and, you know, get down on yourself if someone doesn't make it. If you've listened to this audio and you've done the things that we've recapped here and someone doesn't make it, you need to just understand that that's going to happen, and it's no reflection on you as a person or the training that you gave them, as long as you did what we've covered to this point, right? So some people are gonna make it, some people aren't, but as long as you do your best and don't take it personal, that was something I had to learn early on in training, was just, hey, I mean, I feel like I'm doing everything I can and some people just aren't making it, and that's gonna happen. But I took it kind of hard initially, but once you know that, hey, I'm doing everything I can and I can't make them want it more than they want it. I can't do their push-ups for them, as Justin says. So just to keep yourself emotionally balanced as well when you are training someone that for whatever reason doesn't make it, as long as you're doing your part, that's all you can do.
And lastly, have fun. I mean, it's a blast to see somebody get it. Like, there are so many people out there that are hungry, and when we do those things right, it's so fun to see it. You know, I can remember when Tyler saying him come up and follow me in freaking negative 30, which wasn't fun. I did not want, he wasn't even part of my team. I didn't want to go out there and do it, but it's so fun to see people get it and develop, and being a part of that process is a big deal. So have fun with people. Have fun when you're out in the field. And Nate's got one more thing.
Well, just that, right on that point, though, the importance of having fun, the importance of showing people how to have a great attitude, right? How to smile through the uncomfortability, you know, of being brand new. So I guess anything else just on how to show people a great attitude, you know, things like self-talk. I'm thinking about, like, people who have followed, you know, experienced agents and comment on, oh, wow, they really do use their demo goal card. They really do the little things right. They really do have quotes in their car, or pictures in their car. They really do talk to themselves, you know, out loud, you know, during the day. But anything else from an attitude standpoint, because I think a lot of people, when we've been doing this for a while, we just have it. We have the conviction, the faith, the belief that it's going to happen, because it's happened so many times before. But what are some ways that we can show people visibly, you know, what it takes to maintain a great attitude?
One is you certainly, you know, one of the big things is just praying before the day starts to keep things in perspective. That, you know, I'm just going to pray to be led to protect the families I'm supposed to. You know, it's hard to be nervous when your mind's on service. and, you know, we do great things. So just taking the pressure off of them, us, and the prospect, really. And then also just corny little things that, you know, when somebody's super rude at the door, everybody's seen me do this. Oh, so you want 3 policies? And, you know, after you've done your third approach, you're like, no, I didn't. Oh, okay. You know, it's simple things, whatever it is for you, but just little things that'll crack them up, crack the other person up, and the prospect.
So letting them into your world. In other words, things that you would normally just do internally without saying out loud, help people see that, help them hear how you're processing and keeping things positive.
Yeah, I use positive self-talk probably even more so when someone is following me than I do on my own. I mean, I just go when I'm on my own, and I'm positive no matter what's happening. But it's huge I use positive self-talk, and I also explain to people, once again, just being open with them that, hey, I've had weeks where nothing happened until Thursday, but the system always works if I work, and I ended up writing 17,000 on Friday and Saturday. So I've had people say, man, just nothing seems to faze you, and it doesn't, and it shouldn't. If you're in a position where you're out training someone, they shouldn't see you get extremely high if you sign someone up and extremely low if you hear a no. It should just be, yep, this is what I do every day, and no big deal if I get a no, and it's definitely not a big deal if you get a yes. You shouldn't be like, oh my God, oh, hey, I got them covered, right? So just, just maintain that steady, even keel, and if you don't use self-talk, use it when you're with someone. Some people are just naturally more positive. I think I'm one of them, but I definitely make it a point to laugh off the nose and just stay positive throughout the day.
The last piece on having fun or perspective is weather. So helping people understand when it's rainy out, they need to see you go, man, rainy days are freaking awesome. Everybody's home. They're not going out to practice or whatever. They're not going to the beach. Everybody's home. Or, oh, it gets in the winter, it gets dark at 5 o'clock. It is so sweet because we know who's home and who's not because the lights are on, right? So making sure that whatever season it is, that's why it's great. It's summer, it's super hot out. The hotter it gets, the better I get. And it's light till, 9:30 at night. So those are the things that help people put it in perspective when they're thinking, oh, this is bad. No, this is actually great. This blizzard, oh, man, I can tell you about the best days I've ever had when it's a blizzard out there because everybody's home a snow day. Oh, it's just awesome. So.
Yeah, I recognize the common theme there from what both Tyler and Justin just shared is that stories sell, guys. Stories sell. So giving them a story of hope from yourself or any story that you're aware of that big day, that big week that happened when it rained or the fair was in town or whatever, the case may be is huge. So ultimately, yeah, we'll wrap this up. I think this was good. It comes down to show people how to work a full day. Start when you say you're going to start. Stop when you say you're going to stop. A full 8-plus hour day. Show them how to work 2 out of 3, right? Show them a replicatable gold standard demo. Show them how to protect families, no matter how small the app might be. Show them success. And when you've done those things, while being in communication and while helping them to manage the mental and emotional side of the game by showing them how to have a great attitude, how to have a great time, you're going to do great. And the people who are supposed to make it, the people who were meant to build lifelong careers and businesses and be lifelong friends and business partners of ours will absolutely do exactly that. So with that, on behalf of Tyler the Grindhouse Grinder and Justin, everyone's a savage until they're not, Ellingson, this is Nate Terborg signing off.
How do we even run a business before we do this?
That's good. I think we just changed the name.
Yeah.
Game changed once again.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Yes.